The first reading is taken from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you to all those readers today. I love that first reading, that prophecy from Isaiah that Isabel read, and particularly I love the way it links with the story of the wise men. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations, that means the peoples, the Gentiles, foreign nations, will come to your light. And kings, Isaiah knew even that, kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. It's like Christmas, isn't it? The gathering together of the peoples. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. Just what Carol was telling us about earlier. I think the wise men had that same feeling. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nation. They brought riches, didn't they? The riches of the nations. Again, foreign nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Well, we know the wise men had a long journey, didn't they? Camels were the best way to travel. Young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense. Isaiah even knew what the gifts would be and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. What a wonderful reading. What does the Lord say to you when you hear those two readings today? Because today, as Wendy has said, is Epiphany, the day when we think about the manifesting of God to the Gentiles, the revealing of God to others. What's the Lord saying to you? How's he speaking to you today? Just take a moment to ask him what he would say to you from these readings. Just pray that he would continue to speak to you as he's spoken to several already in the past week. Those magi, they were exotic visitors from the east. The word comes from it's a Persian word, magi. From that word, we get our words magic and magician and so on. They obviously studied the stars in the sky, so they were early astronomers. They would have known the layout of the stars, and they clearly spotted that there was a new star, a different one, up in the sky. They also believed that the stars were significant for people on Earth. There was earthly meaning to be found in the stars. So you could say they were early astrologers as well. They made predictions from watching the stars. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were from the nations beyond Israel. They lived in Persia, after all. Although the Jews had been exiled in that area many centuries before this, so they might well have heard stories about the God of the Jews. They were not Jews themselves, and yet they honoured God. They seemed to seek the God of the Jews. They were listening to God. They were waiting. They were watching for his anointed king. What a good example they are to us, actually, aren't they? So we might well conclude, and many have, that they were wise men. They were lovers of wisdom, if you like. One clever Christian poster still says, wise men still seek him. And Christian tradition says that they too were kings. They certainly walked into Herod's presence without too much trouble as his equals. And they brought expensive gifts to Jesus, royal-type gifts, gifts that one king might well give to another. And they were not afraid of Herod. They stood up to him. They were confident enough to disobey him by returning the alternative route, the country way. They might well have been powerful men, wealthy men, but they were wise, they sought after God, and they were generous with their gifts. What's God saying to you about those men? About Epiphany, about the stories. Epiphany literally means manifestation, revealing. It's like that moment when they pull the curtain back and you see what's behind the curtain on stage. That moment when you realize something that you hadn't previously grasped, something important, and it all becomes clearer to you. The Magi, they were the first Gentiles who met Jesus, and he was revealed to them. He was manifested to the nations beyond Israel, beyond the Jews. And then traditionally, there are two other Bible stories that are sort of rolled into Epiphany. There's Christ's baptism by John at the Jordan, many years later, of course, when the heavens were opened, and the voice from heaven declared Jesus to be God's beloved Son. That's a story that we often read in the coming weeks of the Epiphany season. And also the first miracle at Cana in Galilee, where Jesus, we're told by John, Jesus first manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. So both those other Bible stories, both of them have that sort of revealing, Jesus being manifested to people. I know it's a little complicated around this time of year, the winter seasons of the church, but if I can just sort of lay it out for you, Epiphany runs from January the 6th, that's today, through to Candlemas on February the 2nd. That's also known as the presentation of Christ in the temple. You remember the story of Simeon and Anna who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And then after February the 2nd, we've got a sort of slightly variable number of Sundays before Lent. You perhaps remember the old name, Septuagesima, and things like that, Sundays before Lent, leading up to the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday. And from Ash Wednesday onwards, it all moves with Easter, depending when Easter is. Easter falls according to the lunar calendar, the moon, the phases of the moon and so on. And so everything from Ash Wednesday through to Pentecost sort of slides around on our calendar a bit. This year, Ash Wednesday is March the 6th. To be honest, though, if you go out into the community or out into the streets of Colchester, most people don't know anything about that. It's all a bit of a mystery to them. Even the stories of Christmas these days are not that well known. I think these days people tend to think Christmas runs from about September right through to Christmas Eve. And then it's clear it all away for the New Year's parties, and then it's probably Burns Night, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and chocolate galore for Easter eggs and so on. Our world seems to make a big thing of the lead up to a festival when you can sell people things. But the church always used to do it the other way around. You'd have a festival like Christmas, and then the Christmas season following that, the 12 days of Christmas. Today's Epiphany, and then there's the Epiphany season for several weeks after this. Now, it may not be worth fighting that battle anymore. I think we just need to let go of it. But I think we can still tell the Bible stories. We can still tell of the wise men and what they did. And those Bible stories often have strange resonances and meanings for people, don't they? Only yesterday, the poet Malcolm Guite taught me that the swaddling cloths that Mary used to wrap the baby Jesus tight, those prefigured, in a way, the grave cloths in the tomb, wrapped around Jesus in the tomb. And as Mary unwrapped the baby so that he could grow and move and live, so the grave cloths, Malcolm says, the grave cloths fell away in the tomb, and the risen Christ could walk out of the garden into the eternal life of the kingdom. He compares the first birth of Jesus with his new birth, second birth, into eternity, if you like, into eternal life. And I thought, wow, that's a tremendous connection there. I hadn't seen the connection of the swaddling cloths and the grave cloths before. Maybe you're hearing the Lord speak to you. Maybe you're hearing connections as we read these stories. What's the Lord saying to you? As we read that story today, the word overjoyed leapt out at me, that the wise men came and they were overjoyed when they saw the star leading them to the place, right to the place where Jesus was in Bethlehem. And the word literally means not just full of joy, but joy just overflowing, sort of inescapably to everyone else. Again, that experience, Carol talked about it, I've talked about it before, the way that the Holy Spirit just fills you with a sense that you can't keep it in. It's just too much. I'm also reminded of a song about Jesus raising the little girl. Little girl, I say to you, arise. And then he tells the mother and father not to tell anybody, not to say anything to anyone. And the song by Don Francisco describes the father's reaction to that. I've just got to tell somebody. I've got to let it out. The joy is just too much, too great. That, I think, is what we need to be doing as Christians. That's true evangelism, when you just can't help but tell what God has done. That was the experience of the Magi as they left Bethlehem and went back to their own country. It was the experience of the shepherds, having seen the baby Jesus and going back to the fields and telling everyone that they met what they had seen and how God had spoken to them. What's the Lord saying to you? And so in this lovely story, so the star watchers came following the light that had appeared overhead as prophesied by Isaiah. And they came and they knelt before the light of the world. And they brought gold and incense and myrrh as prophesied by Isaiah. And they proclaimed the praise of the Lord. So let us today, let us kneel and worship him, and then go back to our own homes proclaiming him as we go. Amen.
Let's just remain in silence for a time, waiting on God. Asking God, as Ian's challenged us, what is it that you are saying to me about my life, about my journey? What action is it you want me to take? The wise men traveled, having seen the star. What is it that he wants us to do about what we've seen? And finally, bring your worship to God. Praise him for who he is and for what he's doing in our lives, in your life, in my life. Amen.